Hey everyone, welcome to another episode of the Engaged to Flourish podcast. This is Damon. I got Brett. I got Kyle with me. We're back.
Yes.
And we're going to start this episode off kind of this past Sunday. We had Testimony Sunday, and it's the first time we've done it as multi-gen service in a long time.
Yeah, it's been a while.
Yeah. And so, yeah, it was just a little bit different. So to kick off this episode, I wanted to start off by just asking if you guys had any general reflections on Testimony Sunday this past Sunday.
Well, it was our first Testimony Sunday at our new facility, so that was unique, and I think the intimate setting actually helps for that type of service.
I mean, people don't like the long walk from the back to the front at Stanford.
So I think the responsiveness was better. Yeah, we had a lot of this dead time, but I did like. The format was a little different. You were like the host and you had people that you already heard testimonies. So I liked having some of that. But then we did have some free open time. And that's the one that stood out to me because you mentioned to like, oh, this is multi-gen. So are there any kids or youth that would want to share?
Well, okay. Funny behind the scenes story about that one.
I wasn't going to say anything, but since you're okay, go for it.
Okay. So I was up there while someone was sharing their testimony, and the two of us were up there, right? So it was the person that was sharing and myself, and I'm facing her because it was one of the women. So I was facing her, and then I had a direct line of sight with Kyle, who's standing in the doorway because he was doing security that day, and he starts pointing at his watch. And so I was like, is he saying wrap it up? Like, it's saying cut her off or like it's almost time to end the whole thing. Like, he's pointing at his watch. I'm like, what is he saying? And then he pulls out his phone and like, look at your phone. And I felt my phone vibrating and my watch vibrating, but you know, like, you don't want to be up there and looking at your like seeming distracted, like you're looking at your phone checking your text messages. So it's like, oh man, Kyle's trying to set me up right here to so I kind of tried to discreetly while she's talking. And so the other part is after each testimony, I was trying to kind of sum it up
stay engaged with it.
And I'm like, I'm trying to listen to her. And Kyle's like over here trying to distract me.
Okay. So I'm like, okay, we had one youth at the very beginning, but I'm like, oh, we haven't really engaged the young people. So I'm like, I need to get Damon's attention to put a call out to, hey, any kids, any youth want to share anything? So I went with, oh, he's very tech savvy. And like, oh, his phone, he can see his text messages. So I'm like, oh, look at your watch. And then he went to like, oh, shoot, is it too much time? And I'm like, oh, no, that's not the way I wanted him to go. So
he's going
to
end it.
Now I got to go. I'm like, oh, so I'm like scrambling. My phone, watch, phone. I'm like trying to do this charades thing over there. And then finally you got the picture.
Yeah. So I mean, I was trying not to seem like I was distracted looking at my text messages during the middle of this sermon. I mean, it's like, you know, we don't want the people in the congregation looking at their phones during the middle. So you don't want the person that's on stage doing the same thing. So yeah, I was
different purposes.
Yes, it was for a different purpose. I was trying to discreetly take my phone out to look at it. And then I got a text message from Kyle saying, hey, you should put a call out for a young adult or a youth to come up. And so, yeah.
So that's the backstory. So now you know. But he did that. And then the part that stood out to me was there was a young girl put up her hand right away and came right up. And somebody that's newer to our church, I would say within the last month or so, something like that. Mm-hmm. I've never interacted with her. So just the fact that any kid that would go that quickly, because there was like no hesitation. And so that stood out to me. And then went up there, shared confidently, boldly, and like walked. And once she got up there, I thought sometimes kids are like, oh, I'm excited to go up there. And then they get up there and then they're like, oh no, like their shyness comes out or a quietness. And I thought you did a good job interviewing her, asking her and like getting more details. And then,
I mean, I felt a little bad because like of all the kids in there, I think she was probably the only one I didn't know her name. So I was like, oh, what's your name?
But I thought that to me was encouraging and it was uplifting to see young people willing to just be up there in front of all the adults and feel like, oh, I have something important to share. Mm-hmm. And so I like that about that. We want to encourage that in our church, but it doesn't always come out. But I thought that was a great for me, it was a great example of like, oh, no, we have kids that are ready to do that. And not every kid is going to do that or is wired that way. But to have that, I think it's an encouragement to the other kids that were there as well. So I thought, oh, that was cool.
Yeah, I think as some of the kids have been stepping into different roles in the front, it's encouraged other kids to do the same. Or at least have the desire to do the same too. How about for you, Brett?
Testimony Sunday is always a nice change of pace. But it's also like, it could be a wild card. Like, you don't know where all these testimonies are going to go, or even how people perceive and interpret how they should share or what they should share. Mm. But I liked the mix of people who have heard testimonies from others and encouraging them, or having you ask them like, hey, can you share this on Sunday? With some of them being directly related to some of the stuff that's going on in church right now, like the classes and stuff. So I think those are good ways to not just promote it, but see how people are taking what Catalyst is trying to provide its people and how that's influencing their lives, like in the now. And so I'm a little biased, but Cameron's testimony was cool to hear, just because walking with him in small group and being able to see all the ways that he's really growing. Mm-hmm. You know, I get to hear a lot of it from our small group sharing, and you know, he works with the children's ministry, and so he'll talk to me about stuff for children's ministry and youth, and so I get a glimpse of the things he's working on and what he's thinking of, or hey, do you think this is a good idea, or dude, I have to tell you what happened at work. And so for him to be able to share that with everybody, mm-hmm. I think was really cool. And knowing that it came directly from the class that our small group, we was talking about, like, ah, I don't know if I should take it. No, you know what? I'll do it. And then to see already, that was just week one. Mm-hmm. After that was like, oh, okay, that's cool. And just, I'm just really proud of him. And I think it's awesome the ways that he is actively trying to challenge himself and grow, and he's seeing how things are different, where it's like, I wouldn't have responded that way unless I was doing the things that I'm doing. And so that was real encouraging to me, and I'm glad that he felt comfortable to share that and wanted to share that with the rest of the church body.
Yeah, one thing I really appreciated about this Testimony Sunday was the variety in ages. Mm-hmm. So we had some of the youngest people in our church, all the way up to some of the older people in our church, and everything in the mix. Mm-hmm. So it really did feel like it was a multi-gen testimony Sunday, where in the past it could have just been like one segment of the demographic, but this was like the whole range of everyone in our church. We had men, we had women, we had kids, we had grandpas, we had just everybody in the middle. So yeah, I really felt like this was kind of an embodiment of what multi-gen family walking together looks like, and celebrating what God's doing in our lives. And I thought that was really cool to me. One thing that was kind of interesting was, so I was talking to my mom the other day, and she had listened to, because my mom goes to CBC, so she doesn't go to our church, but she tries to follow along. So she'll listen to the audio or watch the YouTube afterwards, because she likes to see what's going on at our church. And she goes, the thing that stood out to me was, we need more people to go on Catalyst Stories. Because there was a part where, you know, on a Testimony Sunday, we went almost an hour for the main portion of Testimony Sunday. We had, I think, 10 people sharing. And there was no break, so it was full. And so if there was anyone else, we don't know if there were more people that have stories or things like that. But she was like, oh, it would be good if more people would go on Catalyst Stories, because I think she really appreciates hearing different testimonies. And Catalyst Stories is one of our forums and platforms that we can do that, you know, throughout the year and not just on Testimony Sunday. So that's one thing that I think is cool, is just God's working all the time, and we don't just have to wait till Testimony Sunday to hear what he's doing.
Oh, I have a part B, but why don't you do yours first? I have another one that Gus highlighted to me.
Oh, mine. Yeah. You guys, okay, so originally I thought we were going to do like a general overview, and then I was going to ask each person individually, like which one was highlighted to them, but you guys already kind of threw it all together. So
I just followed Kyle's lead. So I was like, baby.
gotta keep Damon off kilter a little bit.
All right. So in regards to which testimony in particular stood out to me was just, I mean, it was Elena's, like her sharing of the story was just really, I mean, it was really cool because just the way that the Lord's timing and the way that the Lord orchestrated the whole situation was just kind of like
wild.
It seemed very like biblical, right? It was just like, okay, she wasn't working for a while because of her injury and she was like resting up, right? And then she got this call for a job. And then after the first day, she was like, I don't want to do this anymore because the person that she was helping out was very unpleasant. But the Lord told her, no, I put you here for a reason. I want you to do this. And then she kept seeking the Lord like each day. What do you want me to do? I really don't want to do this, but what do you want me to do? What do you want me to do? And it seemed like the person was very unpleasant for the majority of the time that Elena was with her. And then the Lord kept telling her what to do, even when it was, you know, she was like, oh, I have a break. I could be watching TV or something like that. And the Lord's like, no, I want you to do this. And then she obedience too, just the obedience that Elena had is just so inspiring coming off of, you know, awe of God and talking about obedience and things like that. And it's like, oh, she's actually living that. And she's actually experiencing that even when it doesn't make sense. And it, you know, there's pain involved and she obeyed immediately. She obeyed till completion and she got to see the woman turn her life over to the Lord. And it's like, whoa, you know, and if Elena hadn't been obedient in some of those things, she might not have been able to experience that. And then right after that, she goes to be with the Lord. That's like, whoa, you know? And so, yeah, it was just, to me, afterwards, that's why I said, whoa, I don't know what to say, because that was the first time I had heard that testimony. Mm-hmm. And I was just kind of in shock. It just seemed very something you'd read in the Bible of, you know, one of the characters and what they did. And so Elena, just, if you ever listen to this episode, like, wow, just your obedience is just so inspiring. And, you know, good job. I'm sure the Lord is ready to say to you, like, good job, well done, good and faithful servant. Mm-hmm. You know, just wow.
Because that was only a couple of days before. Like, it was really fresh. It was within that last week, right?
Yeah, it was like within, like, the whole process was like in this last month.
Yeah, but like the way it ended was just like really, like, interesting.
Yeah, so just, when I think about it, I'm still like, wow, like, I can't, that's awesome.
Well, it's funny when you were describing it, it almost brings out elements of, like, the different prophets in the Bible. And like, no, I don't want to do this. And, like, God's like, yes, you will. Okay, fine. And then, oh, I'm so glad I did it. You know, it's like, it's just these interesting dynamics that we see in some characters in the Bible. Mm-hmm. A lot of them are prophets, and yeah.
You said you had part B, Kyle.
Oh, you ready for it?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay, so it was one of your plants, and I had heard the testimony before, and so I was waiting for it because it was somebody that's never really been up in front. So it was Dennis. And so I thought
Shout out to Dennis.
Yeah, for people who are like, oh, I've seen him or I don't know him that well, so I thought that was really cool. Okay, so the first part's a little funny because not making fun of him, but it was funny. Of like how he was describing his daughter. Yeah. I was like, oh, hey, I'm curious, like, how's he going to go with this? Oh, you know, like, number two. But I liked how she had to go poo. And I'm like, but it was good because it didn't come out like he was embarrassed. Or I'm like,
no.
He just was like, oh, that's just the way I'm going to describe it. Because I thought some people in that moment could be like really embarrassed. Like, ah, oh, I don't know how to say this.
Okay, so if you didn't listen to the testimony yet, the situation that he was describing was a situation about his daughter having to use the bathroom and
potty training,
kind of holding it in.
Yeah, and being uncomfortable and almost painful and really painful and stuff like that. Yeah. But I thought it was, I thought he did a great job of doing that. So in light of that, like having his daughter and his wife in there listening to it, I think that's the cool part of having the testimony Sunday on multi-gen is that she's in there too. Whether she comprehends the whole thing, she might hear him talk about, oh, my daughter. So she might kind of know, but not necessarily. Mm-hmm. But I think there's a cool value in hearing a parent or hearing somebody share about you personally in a testimony. So I thought that was really cool. So that's one aspect. The other one is just him, that light bulb going off of, I need to also own my own stuff. And his obeying immediately, that one Sunday where he went, I got to deal with my stuff too. Mm-hmm. And then just seeing the trickle down effect, so to speak, of God's covering on him and how that then transferred to his family. I think a lot of people were blessed by hearing that. So I thought, I was really glad that you asked him for one thing, and I was glad that he was obedient to actually come up and share it.
Do you think that it touches you too, because you have a thing for intentional dads, Kyle?
Well, I just, it's dads stepping into their role and seeing dads where those connections get made of like, oh, I can have an impact on my kids. And maybe more than just like, there's easy ways we can find those, like the way we're wired, like, oh, I can help them something practical or something. And those things are good too. But when you see it and there's a spiritual element too, I think that's where it really kind of hits to a different place. And I think more men in our church need to see that and hear examples of it. And really that one, it's not like super difficult in a sense of, he had to go fast for 3 weeks, or, you know, it was just like, God just said, you got to deal with your stuff. So he was just, okay, I got to do it. I got to deal with this. And I'm sure that's hard on some levels, but still it's not like climbing a mountain, so to speak. And so, but he did that, and then he got to see the blessing on his family.
I mean, I think one of the connections was like, he was holding on to something that the Lord asked him to release.
Yeah.
In a similar way, his daughter was holding on to something that he wanted her to release too.
Right.
And so by him releasing his stuff to the Lord, it kind of set the tone and set the culture for their family where she was able to then release her stuff too. So, I mean, I think that's a message that all of us can hear, right? It's like there's a lot of stuff in our lives that we hold on to that the Lord is wanting to take off our shoulders or wanting us to release to him, you know? And so in that way, I really appreciate Dennis kind of taking the lead for our whole church and saying, okay, this is something the Lord is highlighting to me that I need to release. And it's for him and his family, but then I think that it's also like a forerunner for our church, right? And people recognizing like, oh, when he was able to release that, it did something else in the rest of her family, their family. And so what is that going to look like as we as a church start to release more and more to the Lord?
Yeah, it makes you wonder like, okay, the stuff that I'm not dealing with, how is that affecting other people? Because we know it has an effect on us, but oh, whether it's our own immediate family, whether it's our just like our parents or our siblings, that kind of family too, but it could just be with our coworkers, with our just other situations. And it makes me wonder like, oh man, like how many times have I then brought something negative into a relationship where if I would have dealt with it, then that wouldn't have been there.
I think one thing it highlights to me as you guys are sharing is a greater recognition of the mission for our church in wanting people to experience all that God has created and called them to be. I think a lot of time it's focused on like the uniqueness of everyone, which is true, but it's like, okay, I need to figure out what are my gifts or what are my what makes me me? And I think there's a huge aspect of it. But there's also this aspect of it of like, in Dennis really surrendering things to the Lord and aligning himself with the Lord, like doing that is being who God has created and called you to be. And then through that, I think that's when the uniqueness can play out. I think sometimes we focus so much on the trying to already figure out the, I don't want to say the extra things, but kind of like the supplemental aspects of who God has made us, rather than more so focusing on, okay, if God has created and called me to be a son of his, then I need to, like, part of me fulfilling that mission is not just to figure out, oh, I can, you know, lead in this way and my strengths are this, but it's also recognizing like, oh, I need to align myself with the Lord. And whatever that looks like it'll reveal more of who I am too, and being able to know more of who God is, because all of us are called, and God wants a personal relationship with us. And so despite if my strengths are this and your strengths are this, or it looks like this for me and looks like that for you, it still requires us to be in alignment with him. And so that part doesn't change. And so I know that at times I can get focused on, okay, how has God made me to be? And I'm trying to figure it out, but it's like, well, if I just align myself more with him, I would figure out how God has made me to be. And so it's cool to see how Dennis, who is also someone who's newer, so quickly I feel like has been able to, you know, be in small group, be plugged in, share at Testimony Sunday, and then seeing how he's already like stepping into surrendering and it's like, seeing the fruits of some of those things already.
So are you saying that we should change our thing to called and created instead of created and called? No, I think that it's a good point that sometimes we do get stuck on the first or overemphasize the first part, but it's really they're supposed to be together. It's how we're created and called. But sometimes I get stuck in that mode of finding out how am I created, and it's about finding out, unlocking those things. But really it's with the purpose of, because I'm called for specific things.
As you guys are talking, it reminds me of something we did talk about in our identity class this past Sunday, was what's Jesus's fundamental posture as a son. And in doing some research and thinking about it, we talked about, you know, his fundamental postures are he's surrendered and submitted to the Father. Right. And so if that's who Jesus is, and our goal in our life is to, you know, be more in the likeness of him, then what should our posture look like? Mm. If that's his fundamental posture, shouldn't our posture be submitted and surrendered to the Father too? Right. And so I think that's something that just to keep on our minds, just like, are there certain areas that I'm not surrendered, or are there certain areas that I'm not submitted to the Father? What do you guys think?
Yes.
Yeah, I think for some people, the what does that mean, or what does that look like, is the tough part. From a daily life aspect, like they know it's a good idea, or they know that that's true, but then it's like, okay, so what is that? Or it stops there, I guess. It stops at, yeah, I need to do that. And then it's like,
so you think it gets kind of stuck, like theoretical,
kind of, yeah.
Don't know how to apply it or live it.
Yeah, like what does that mean for me in my life? Like, I don't know if a lot of people, I could be wrong, but I don't know if a majority of people take that and then try to, like, almost like a transparency, and take it and look over their situations in their life and say, how does this apply to this, or how do I incorporate this over this? It's just like, oh yeah, that's good. And then there's like kind of a disconnect, or just, I don't know how to do that.
Yeah, what are the next steps?
Yeah. So are you going over that in your identity class, or?
Well, we are going to be talking a little bit about expanding what that actually looks like. Mm-hmm. But I think, you know, for where we are now, it's just recognizing, like, okay, that's Jesus's fundamental posture. Mm-hmm. Like, as a Christian, like little Christ, right? Like, that's what we're trying to do, is to be in, you know, more and more each day in the likeness of Jesus, right? And so if that's his fundamental posture, are there ways that we are moving closer and closer to that posture, or are we holding tightly to the way the world sees things, and it's like, I need to do what I want to do, or I need to hold on to my will, where Jesus was like, here's what I want, Father, but it's your will, not mine, right? And kind of like one of the words that's been highlighted to me over and over and over recently, and you said it again right now, Brett, is the daily portion. Right. And I think sometimes coming off of like Testimony Sunday, we hear, you know, individual stories of these kind of sometimes bigger events, but that can lead us to this point where we feel like we're looking for the big ways that God is in our life, when really he's just looking to be a part of our life each day, each minute, each second, you know? And are we interacting with him regularly, or is it just like, okay, I need to find the big thing, the big thing, the big thing? Okay, so I have a funny story.
Yes.
So in our small group, we were kind of talking about some of the different areas that some people struggle with a little bit. And one of the ways that we talked about overcoming or helping us would be to recognize the presence of the Lord with us regularly, like we're talking about right now. Mm. So it was kind of cool because I think I can share this part.
The name.
So Brandon, shout out to Brandon. Good idea. So he had said, talked about like Brother Lawrence and practicing the presence of the Lord. And actually a few people in my group came up to him later and said, oh, that was really good. Like that really helped me in these areas that I'm struggling with to see where's Jesus at in this moment. And it actually changed things. So it was good. So kind of in a funny way, Brandon, he got this idea to buy these stickers of Jesus and
so it's, he like says, it's like an image of Jesus?
An image of Jesus, yeah. And there's words on the sticker that says, I saw that. But not necessarily, so he wasn't thinking about it in terms of like—
not like, I got you.
Yeah,
like
not in a condemning way, yeah. But just to say like, hey, Jesus is here with us. Like,
yeah.
He's not, it's not just like an ethereal—
Nothing's hidden.
Yeah, right? There's nothing hidden from him. So he sees us, he sees it when we're hurting. He sees it when we're joyful. He sees all the time, right? And so, yeah, so good idea, Brandon. If you ever see my phone, it's in the case of my phone and you might see it.
So. Yeah, it's hidden. You can't even see it. So you got to put it in a different spot. So you're putting Jesus in the box, man. because he showed us a little bit ago and I first saw that. I'm like, oh, that's cool. But I'm like, wait, you had that behind your little magnetic clip thing or whatever. So how do you even see it?
Yeah, Jesus sees that, Damon. Yeah.
He's just trying to surprise you, Kyle. He's there the whole time. He's, okay. He's just trying to surprise
that
you.
That was for me. Okay, I like that. Okay. No, I think it is helpful in our journey of maturing to have that, to make that more of a prominent thought. Like, oh yeah, nothing I'm doing is hidden from God. Like, as much as I can hide it from other people or think I can, really, it's true. I saw that. And God doesn't want us to live that way. He doesn't want us to live in shame and hidden secrets and things like that, because really that's just something that separates us from him. And so the more, like our theme this year of bringing things to the light, the more we can do that, then that keeps our connection with him better. But it's a maturing process, because I think in our sinful nature, it's easy. Well, it's like Adam and Eve, the first thing they did was hid, right? Mm-hmm. Like, that's the reaction, is like, I need to hide because I know I'm not in alignment, and it's something that really is like offensive to God. And he doesn't want us to live in that way. So he doesn't do it with shame, but he's like, I have a better way. But to do that, you have to stand up and say like, own what you're doing in the hidden area.
And I think sometimes too, you know, like in our discussion right now, we're talking about it in regards to sinful stuff. But I think sometimes it's even harder to recognize him in when things are going good, right? Mm-hmm. It's like, oh, there's no need for him, and that's when things go bad. Like every time in the Bible, right? Things would be starting to go well, and then they would forget about the Lord, and then downfall would come because they forgot about the Lord, right? Mm-hmm. Because they started to think, oh, look at all the things that I've done. Look at all the ways that I've done this. Look at all the things that I've produced, or, you know, the riches that I've accumulated, or the battles that I've won. And then that's when their downfall comes, because they forgot to acknowledge the Lord. Sometimes it's easy to acknowledge the Lord when we know that we messed up, or when we know that things are hard and we need him. But really it's acknowledging the Lord all the time, not just in the difficult times or when we're struggling with something, but it's also when the great things happen, when the good things happen.
I agree.
I was waiting for some profound thought, Brett. Or you can let it simmer a little bit.
No, there's no profound thought in here. I think what stood out when you were talking about the daily, and thinking about the testimonies. On Testimony Sunday, we get to hear, for the most part, the end. Mm. But if you, most of those testimonies happened over a span of time. And so either daily or multiple days, the people that shared had to deal with, wrestle with, grow in different things that led to the end part where now they're sharing it. And so you said something kind of like, oh, sometimes we could be looking for like the big thing, which is maybe the thing that like we share with everybody because it's like, look what happened and yada yada, how I see God, I got God did this, or I was able to overcome this, or and that is, you know, we do want to share in victory and give praise for those things, but you know, for like Elena's story, for Dennis's, for the different people that shared, like they had to do things before that day that they shared or they experienced and had that testimony. And then like throughout, like Elena, there was times where she didn't want to do what God was calling her to do, but on a daily helping out that other person, she had to submit, wrestle with the Lord and say, okay, no, I'll do it. Or I have to deal with circumstances that are not pleasant. And so it's like the testimony is the time that we get to hear and kind of hear the after, which is awesome. But I think it's also to remember that one, there's a testimony in the during that I don't think we often get to hear from people, but then also there are multiple moments, days, opportunities that lead up to each of these testimonies. And so on the daily, it kind of brings this picture to me of like, if we're not, and this is not to guilt anyone, but if we're not trying to connect with the Lord, see how he's working or moving, aligning ourselves with him on the daily, then like, are we not able to build up to that testimony? Because if I'm not doing the work or what he's calling me to do today, like kind of like, where does that lead? It kind of makes me ask that question to myself. Like, where does that lead then? If Elena said no or stopped or gave up, does she get to that end testimony point where now it's the big day where she could share it and this is what happened? I don't know. But I think in everybody's faithfulness and obedience, each day trying to do what God has put in front of you leads to the quote unquote big thing.
When you're sharing it, it makes me think that God's sovereign, so he can work in spite of us. Mm-hmm. And so he can work even when we're like not agreeing with him or kind of mm-hmm. almost going against him. And that happens sometimes, but it's the question came to my mind of how much more can he do through us if we actually align with him.
Mm-hmm.
And when you were describing those moments, it was highlighted that they all have choices.
Mm-hmm.
Each testimony it's a culmination of choices. Sometimes it's only a one choice, but sometimes it's a repetitive over days, over a long period. Sometimes it's a choice after failing to make the choice he wants us to make over and over. But then this time we finally, you know, did it. So, choices, but then just knowing like, wow, if I am aligned with God, like how much more can he do through me?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I think even to go deeper into what you were saying, Brett, I think even like for Elena's story, it didn't just start when she got the phone call to say, hey, can you help me with this woman?
Mm-hmm.
It was before that, because throughout this whole story that she shared, she's hearing from the Lord. Like if she hadn't cultivated that mm-hmm. practice and the ability for her to hear the Lord and be sensitive to his voice, when he is speaking in that situation, she probably wouldn't have heard it. She probably would have said, oh, I don't want to do this anymore, so I'm out. Right, but she sought the Lord. And why did she seek the Lord? Probably because she's used to doing that, and that's part of her regular, whether it's daily or just regular part of her life, is to seek the Lord. And so even for some of those things, like cultivating our relationship, cultivating our ability to hear the Lord's voice, those types of things, we don't know where that's going to lead in the future. But as we continue to step into it and cultivate that relationship, cultivate our ability to hear God's voice, cultivate our relationships with other people, the Lord can use those things in crazy ways, like in Elena's story. But that those things, those little things that we're doing every day might not be the parts that we recognize, but without them, the story doesn't happen at all.
Yeah. And I think for myself, what it highlights is, sometimes, I mean, even when I'm sharing, I could see how people might take it as like, oh, I'm kind of waiting for God's order. Like he's kind of like a lieutenant or something, which I think at times God definitely commands us or asks us or directs us to do things. But I've personally been trying to shift more of my mindset to like partnering with the Lord and having that picture more than just the like, okay, God, what do you want me to do? And just waiting for like an order or a command, because that dynamic of relationships a little different than if you're like, oh, okay, God, like I want to partner with you. And so I want to invite you in, or I want to, like you shared earlier, like be in your presence just constantly. Mm-hmm. And so I think that's more of the mindset of in alignment. It is coming under the Lord, but it's not like doing nothing until he commands you mm-hmm. to do something, but it's more having him be a part of your everyday and partnering with him throughout all that you're doing. And at times he may give you a distinct, okay, you need to go here. And you're like, I don't know why he wants me to go there. And other times I feel like he might not say something directly, but knowing that you're in connection with him, if something's highlighted or he wants you to bless someone or whatever, like you will be attuned to that because you're partnering with him, and then you're able to step into those things.
It just hearing you both share, like Damon, you were talking about developing that relationship. To me, one of the key outcomes is developing trust. Mm. And then that, like with what you were just sharing, Brett, too, it's, yeah, because you can trust. So both situations, if it's a command, you have to be able to trust that you can follow the command and it's a good. So, but the trust level is a little different. Mm-hmm. But when you're describing the other part, then it's like that trust of partnering too, like that what God has is not only good for you, because there's an aspect that it's good for you too, but then it's a good purpose for whatever he wants to see happen. And then you trust that that's higher and even better than what you could even see. So whether you understand it or whether it's what you think should be done, it's developing that trust, but it doesn't just happen overnight. Like you were describing, Damon, that's the journey of like developing our relationship with the Lord and having a personal relationship. It has to be built over time. And I think we sometimes say it too casually, and I think even with my kids too, sometimes I maybe get that across, that the trusting God is, it's just easy. Like you just trust God, right? Because we know he's good. And but in our head, yeah, the trust part is easy, but when you have to live it out, that's the part it actually takes. It takes time, and it takes things that don't go well, and it takes times where you screw up and God's like, it's okay, well next time trust me. And then I don't know if I can or know if I want to, there's all these other things that are holding me back. But I don't want people to think that it's just this easy step. Oh yeah, all of a sudden I can trust wholeheartedly. It's like Elena's story is very convicting to me. Like, wow, would I have been able to stick it out and be obedient to the end, to conclusion, like we talked about in the Awe of God too. Like, wow, she her conviction, I think, came from a deep trust and a deep place and of intimacy with God.
I really like that you use the word partner. I don't know where I heard it. Either someone told it to me or I heard it on a podcast somewhere, but I heard it. Someone said, God's not looking for servants, he's looking for partners. And so as I've been thinking about it, it's like that kind of fits the verses we've been talking about. I know we've been talking about it quite a bit. It's the Matthew 7 verses, right? About where it says, this is verse 22, Jesus talking, says, many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? And in your name drive out demons and perform many miracles? Then I will tell them plainly, I never knew you, away from me, evildoers, right? And it's kind of that contrast, right? It's like, okay, there's this paradigm of I'm doing this for the Lord. I'm serving him. I'm doing all these things. But if he's looking for a partner, there's a different type of relationship with that than a servant, right? And so there's a different knowing, right? And so that's where in verse 23, he says, I'll tell them plainly, I never knew you, right? It's like there's a different knowledge that you have with a partner than you have with the servant. And so I really like that you use that term partner, because I feel like it demonstrates and it kind of helps us to flesh out a little bit more what kind of relationship the Lord wants with us. It's not just I tell you to do something and you do it, but it's how are we going to partner together in doing this?
I can't take credit for it. Pastor Barry was the one who told me, because I was meeting with him and talking to him about my walk with the Lord in trying to hear him and be more aligned with him. And he didn't challenge me, but when he shared that, I was like, oh, okay, I think that's the challenge for me, is I have a desire to be really obedient and want to do things, but it's not always just going to come as like, okay, this is your checklist for today. This is all the things you have to do. Now go do it. It's more of finding that balance of partnering with him and trusting that the ways he has wired me and stuff like is good. And so I can make choices and whatnot, but then being aware of and intentional about knowing that I'm entering into things with the Lord. And so if he does prompt me or whatever, then to be able to step into those things. So I appreciate the compliment, but it's Pastor Barry.
No, I don't have anything. Why are you pointing at me?
Because I like pointing at you. Because you threw me under the bus on Sunday, so. Oh, dang it.
No, I didn't. I helped you on Sunday. So where are we going to wrap this up, Damon?
I just really appreciate the willingness for the people in our church to be able to share, whether it's on a testimony Sunday or, I mean, like even Elena's story, the reason that she was able to share it on Sunday is because she shared it with Pastor Barry the day before at game night. Mm-hmm. And so I think that culture in our church of people just sharing what the Lord is doing in their life, I think it's something that really builds people's faith. And I really appreciate that about people in our church. Like even like game night was game night. We're having fun, but spiritual conversations come out of that. And then it leads to being able to share that story with the whole congregation. Right. And so just part of the culture of our church to be able to share with each other what God is doing in our lives. I really appreciate that about our church and the desire that we have, or some people have, to seek the Lord regularly so that they have stories to share.
As you're sharing, I have a challenge for everybody. And
ooh, hey, I think we need a challenge music button, like the dun dun dun.
The people might tune out after they hear that. You know, just thinking about testimonies and, you know, hearing, wow, some people shared I didn't know, or they're newer, or even Damon, your mom saying like people need to go on Cal Stories more. One, I want to encourage people to share, even if the quote unquote story or testimony is not done yet. Some of those people, like in the midst of it, like need encouragement, or, you know, that's how you can walk with someone. So that's one thing, is to encourage people, that share with people, even if the story or whatever is not completed yet. You'll be surprised at how many people you find that can relate or understand or want to help support you. But the challenge is, use that question that we use here on the podcast that Damon's talking about, what's God been highlighting to you, or more regularly when you're talking to people, especially Eucalyptus people at church, like make that more of a regular topic of conversation, not waiting till you hear someone on the podcast, not waiting till it's testimony Sunday. At a game night, you can be playing a game and still ask, like, hey, what's God been highlighting to you while you're playing a game? It could be at you're out to lunch, like just, you know, I'm sure there's people that do that, but just in general, like we would probably hear so many more testimonies, or it would help help each other almost keep accountable of being reflective on how is God working in my life and recognizing things, or being able to speak into each other like, oh, I see God doing this in your life, or whatever it is, instead of just waiting for the, you know, I don't know how often we do it, but the one opportunity, like, wow, I didn't know that, da 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 da. But being able to just more regularly speak into that and hear those things, I think it would help uplift all of us together.
I think it reminds me that sometimes we get stuck on the destination and we don't value the journey. Right? Mm. We're waiting for, oh, but I'm not there yet, so I'm not going to share until I'm there. But really, it's in the journey when you're sharing in process, so to speak. There's testimonies there, but there's also encouragement. There's a place for them, people to speak into you. And I remember going through that, wrestling with that, because I think I was the type of person when I was younger that would be waiting for the destination, waiting for things to finish, and then I can either take the next step, or then I could share, or then I could whatever. And I got focused more on the place I was going instead of what was happening along that journey. And someone challenged me in that, and it kind of reshaped, like, oh yeah, that I need to value the journey part of it a lot more than I have been.
Oh, you're done? I thought you were going to keep going.
No, I wanted to leave it like just like that, just for you, David.
I mean, that question is one that we've been talking about in terms of how do we, okay, for this testimony Sunday, I was thinking we could have a facilitator, so I was planning on facilitating, and if people didn't have a prompt, that was the prompt that we were going to give them, was what's God been highlighting to you recently? Because, you know, when you look at the definition of testimony, really it's being a witness of something that God's doing, right? And so it doesn't have to just be the story of how you came to Christ, which a lot of people, that's what they associate testimony with, but it's just, in what ways have you witnessed God moving in your life recently, right? And so that's what a testimony can be. It's just, are there certain ways that you have witnessed God moving in your life or moving in someone else's life that you want to share with someone? And it gives people evidence that God is real, right? And I think that's one thing that I thought was cool about on Easter with the apologetics, you know, the basic apologetics that Cameron shared with our whole church family was he gave evidence of the reality of the crucifixion and resurrection, right? From eyewitness accounts or artifacts or different things. So it's like, oh, this is true. Like, this is not just, you know, some fairy tale or something like that, but it's grounded in truth and facts that people can do research and find. And that's what testimonies can be for people. It's like, this is evidence that God is moving, God is working, God is doing something. And yeah, I want that too. I want that for my life too. And so, you know, maybe that's why in Revelation it says they will overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of the testimony, right? It's like the testimony helps people to recognize the reality of who God is, and that he's real, and that he's alive, and he's active, and he's working, and helps them to want that in their own life too.
Good word, Damon.
All right, I'm getting a bunch of blank stares. So
I think we're tapped out.
Yeah, I was just going to say, I think that might mean it's time to wrap up this episode. Do you guys have any final things to say, or are we done?
I just think it's cool to hear from our church and the ways that God is working, and it, whether it's a big way or a small way, it's encouraging. And so I think that's where the heart of the challenge comes from, is if you enjoyed hearing people's testimonies, don't wait for the next Sunday before it to happen. Go ask people and hear some of those stories on your own. And maybe next time you'll be like, oh, I heard from this person, they should share. I heard from this person, they should share. Yeah.
Yeah, and I think it's awesome that we get to hear testimonies here and there in different messages, like where there's something that ties in with a message or sermon series, and we pull those in. But I think it's very unique to have that for a whole Sunday, and so I'm glad we do that. And then they don't necessarily have to have a theme, but it was pretty cool that Pastor Barry recognized that there was a thread through several of them about reaching out and sharing the gospel with people. So I thought it was cool, even though it wasn't a theme-based testimony Sunday, that God still was highlighting certain things. So, yeah, I love your challenge, Brett, to just make that more of the conversation. Hey, what's God been doing? And to not be ashamed of, like, well, it's this or that. And you might think it's something small, but that's a great way to build your own faith of sharing stuff, but then allowing people to share, speak into you. But you never know. That might be just what somebody else needs to hear. That's a missing piece for them to unlock something.
Yeah, one thing that I heard from a few different people was they highlighted different testimonies and said, oh, I needed to hear that one. I needed to hear that one. I needed to hear that one. So, you know, that just resonated with me that sometimes when we're going through something difficult or something that we just doesn't make sense to us, sometimes we just need to hear someone else's faith or someone else's story, and that can help uplift us and say, oh, I needed that. So if you are going through something difficult, that's a great time to go ask someone, what's God been highlighting to you recently? Because maybe their story is something that's actually going to lift up your faith and help you out too. So just want to say thank you to everyone that shared a testimony on Testimony Sunday. Shout out to everybody out there. We just really appreciate your willingness to share with our church. It lifted up our faith and just really helped us to see some of the things that God is doing. And we're excited to hear more. So usually we have Testimony Sunday and Thanksgiving. Mm-hmm. So that's probably the next one that we'll have. But that doesn't mean you have to wait. If you have a great story to tell, you can always go on Catalyst Stories. You can, or if it's a shorter one, you can come on Engage to Flourish. We're always looking for guests. So if you have a story or something that you want to share, come on and share it with us. And then we can incorporate the rest of the discussion and you can be a part of it. So just thank you to all our listeners out there. We really appreciate you. And we're looking forward to celebrating the moms this Sunday because it's Mother's Day this Sunday.
Yes.
So until next time, may you experience God's heart for you to flourish in every season.